Do you want more great content or bonus episodes? Then log on to youarenorthof40.com. Drop your email to get started. Hi, I'm Maryam Micah Day, and you're listening to North of 40, where we tackle conversations around death, rebirth, soul-shifting experiences, and how to embrace our human condition when life throws you curveballs. Hi, and thank you for coming back to another episode of North of 40. This is your host, Maryam Micah Day. And today we have a very, very special guest, someone who was very near and dear to me. She is an actor, writer, producer, multi-hyphenate creator, mom, and wife. You may have seen her on SWAT, Atlanta, and a reoccurring role on Tyler Perry's Sisters. My friend and my soror, Kena Ferguson. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It is always a joy to be with you.
Typically when I start the show, I always bring on guests who have some sort of commonality with me. And, you know, we met a long time ago in a women's group.
Yes, we did. An
artistic woman's group.
Yes, we did.
I think we figured out that we were sorors, which was a whole nother thing.
Right.
But I think we kind of just met just on the strength of us as women, Black women in Los Angeles, trying to bond and figure ourselves out as artists,
exactly. Right? And we just started talking and talking, and we could not stop talking. And then we found out that we were both dancers and choreographers, and that we knew some of the same people. And it was literally like, I remember, I think you might have been like, okay, well, you're stuck with me now. So get ready. And I was like,
yeah, I was serious.
And
about
I was like, great. I can't wait for us to be friends for life. And here we are.
And here we are. It's funny because, you know, our artistic journeys have always ebbed and flowed mm-hmm. and crossed paths and diverged many times over, particularly being here in LA.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring the audience up to speed in terms of what your artistic journey has been, both with regard to successes as well as challenges, and how you were able to kind of manage some of those kind of disappointments or pitfalls or, you know, triumphs that you've had here thus far.
I think for me, gosh, that's such a big question. I'm trying to figure out how to start that. So obviously before becoming a mom, you're journeying with just trying to navigate, even before becoming a wife, just navigating the social aspect of LA, the expectations of LA, you know, the expectations of yourself. Where do you fit in? You know, how do you want this to all to happen? And it's such a roller coaster, which is life, right? So it's such a roller coaster of, you know, you book some things and you're on top of the world to like, there's a drought for 6 months to a year. And you're like, I don't understand. I was just on this to, you know, and that is the ebb and the flow, right? Then there's the part, like when I first moved here, there was a part of like finding your tribe. So then it's like, how do you find your tribe that can help and support you? And you guys can be there for each other through these ups and the downs, right? And I do have to say, I've been very fortunate to find my tribe. And obviously, you know, you're one of those people and that's such a blessing. And then when I found, you know, when my husband and I got together, I think that then he becomes your safe space where you can cry out your disappointments. And so you kind of have this standing ground person. But then when you become a mom, I found that it's not that it matters less, because it doesn't. There are moments that it matters less because the only thing that matters to me is my son and being a good mom. But then there are moments for your own personal growth where you're like, man, I want to also be the best at what it is that I set out to do for myself, and also how that will better help my son to see me in the light in which I do. And so I think I kind of vacillate between the two a lot of times. Like sometimes I'm like, that doesn't matter. My son just loves me for me, and I just want to be the best for him. And it doesn't matter if I don't get that job. It doesn't matter. And then there's the times where I'm like, I still want to show up for me in the way that I want to show up for me, which means then I need to, you know, then I beat myself up for not being where I quote think I should be. And what I've come to, and you know, you ask me a month from now, I may be like, oh child, I don't know. But where I've come to is that you can only do the best that you can do. Your children do not care about your accolades. They love you so much for just being you. And I think it just keeps going back to how you are enough. Like, people tell you that, and we never, it seems like it takes us forever to grasp it, but it really is, you are enough. And when I look at my son and the way he looks at me and my husband, it's like, we are enough. And if we just can show up as ourselves, and some days that's going to be better than others, it's always fine that way. So that's kind of how I've been taking that journey and making some of these things that seem so important a little less important. Because
you better be coming on here dropping some jewels for the people. You know, it's true. I struggle with feeling like I am enough, particularly when I first came to LA, mm-hmm. Because I thought that all I needed to do was to come with my man, which I did. But LA is a whole different beast. And if you make that a metaphor in life, like, you kind of show up in situations unprepared, and then you figure out the hard way that, oh, I need certain things in my toolkit to survive. Absolutely. And that's essentially what it was. Like, it was trial by fire for mm-hmm. me. And, you know, I think I clumsily fell into finding my tribe, which was that group that we were both a part of at one time. And I collected my people there, and I kept moving, and I found another group mm-hmm. and kept moving. And, you know, I realized that my husband was the support that I needed, but I also had to kind of figure out who I was. And I don't think I knew who I was, even though I projected this
absolute
illusion of this person. I think life had to happen for me to figure out who I was intrinsically. Mm-hmm. And when you said about showing up as my authentic self and really just owning who I am and knowing that I'm enough, I think in all situations, that's it.
It is.
That's the ingredient,
it is,
right?
It is. And I think for me, I feel like it's kind of been maybe three stages, right? So I show up to LA straight out of college. Like, what, I moved here like 4 days after I graduated from college, right? So I show up and I'm ready because I do the things that it is that I want to do. I wanted to move to LA. I'm going to move to LA. I got my apartment. I got my whole life together, and I'm here and I'm ready to audition. Tell me where to audition so I can do my thing. And I got this, right? Clearly it doesn't work that way. But the thing that I did have on my side at that time was I had no fear because I didn't have anyone to tell me what the boundaries were. So I was boundless, right? I was limitless. I was like, I'll go to this agent's office. Who says I can't go to William Morris and drop off my headshot and tell him who I am? Who says I can't go to this production company? I don't understand these rules, right? So then you kind of are doing that, which there is some success that you're seeing. Like, the first show I did was a BET show called The Way We Do It with Ricky Smiley. And I was a co-host. I crashed that audition from somebody telling me something. I didn't know. It was just like, oh, there's an audition? What do you mean I need an appointment? They haven't seen me. You go and you do your thing, right? I got the job, right? You just let me do it. And then there's a point where you start to learn the rules. As you become to do more, people start to tell you, like, you can't do this. Make sure you don't do this in the room. So you start to get these rules, which start to kind of box you in. And then the next thing you know, now you're in this place of like, I want to do it right. I don't want to do it wrong. I don't want to be blackballed. I don't want this, right? So then there's this part where you're not even being you, and the fervor and the energy that you have and the like go-get-it-ness, you kind of lose and you kind of become safe. Well, we all know safe never gets you anything. So then there's this moment of being safe. And then I feel like you have another transition where you realize safe isn't the way. Who I am was perfectly fine. People will like you or they won't. And that's just part of life. And so then you're back on the journey of always trying to remove those boundaries and those limits around you. And at the same time, discovering yourself, discovering what you want. And as you're getting older, figuring out who I am and all of that. And so I feel like those are kind of the transitions that you, for me, that I went through. And then becoming a mom happens. And then you're like, okay, there are some boundaries I really don't care about because I'm somebody's mom and they are depending on me to grow up, right? So that for me feels like how it was and how it's been. And I think the biggest lesson that I always learn is, how can you, a good friend of mine used to say, how can you stop the car from rolling down the hill? So as soon as I feel myself going into this pit of like, oh, I'm not doing enough and I should be a better mom and maybe I'm not doing this. It's like, how can I stop that really soon and go, we know that's not true. We know that's false. You know that you're great at what you're doing. You're going to have some bad days. Be grateful for what you have and start to kind of talk yourself out of it. The sooner and the quicker you can do that, the better you are at like overcoming whatever these obstacles are or whatever you may be feeling that aren't necessarily the truth about yourself.
And that's such a great, that's such a great tool to give. How to stop the car from rolling down the hill. It's also a physical action that you can think in your mind as your body going out of control or your mind spinning out of control. And what we're saying is we have to be so level set and laser focused in what our goals are that no matter what the outside is saying to us, no matter what the information that is coming to us that is counterproductive to that thing, we don't pay attention to. And I love that. Because I wasn't clear, you know, for a long time, I wasn't clear. And even after Bay had passed away, I was even less clear. You know, those are two very different points of entry in terms of where I was emotionally. But nonetheless, I wasn't clear. And I think that as I began to heal, the clarity of who I was shaping. It was almost like I was in an oven being baked. Yeah. And I think what you're saying is the same thing. It's like, when you have these experiences, it's turning this pottery into this beautiful clay cup or whatever that new thing is going to be, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I feel like LA is the perfect place to do it because LA, although it looks pretty, it's sunny, palm trees.
Can be doggy dog. It can.
LA ain't
everybody
easy.
Everybody can't. Listen, I've had many of friends who were so talented, who were so good. They had the whole package. They could not cut it because it is hard, because it isn't this thing of like, you're the best actor, so you should get it. It isn't this thing of, okay, I did the work. I've worked hard. I've done A, B, C, D, E, so I should get F. It isn't that way. And I've had a lot of talented friends who just didn't make it because A, they're like, I don't want to struggle anymore. Or B, I want to have a family and I don't want to have to think about the fact that I can't have a house or whatever that is, right? And so those people weed themselves out. And I think that is why it is like, what is your staying power? And that's not to say that it's that theirs is weak. It's just to say everybody isn't cut for the LA.
Right. And whatever that LA thing whatever is that in is. Your life.
Whatever that
and
is.
And you have to, and knowing that there is a thing, that LA thing, whatever that thing is, you also have to know your why.
Right.
Why are you doing this? Why are you here in LA? Why are you going to stay? Or why are you going to leave? I think that when I figured out what my why was, I knew for me, because I didn't come here right after college. In fact, I came here well into my mid-20s. I had just completed a Broadway show. I just did my first role on Law and Order. So I was like, oh, honey, LA is ready for me. I'm coming out here. I'm killing it. Oh, honey, ain't nobody knocked on my door. Ain't no auditions. There was crickets. Right. I was looking around like, oh, but y'all like, I told you I was here. Oh, it was a show. And when I figured out that I knew I didn't want to go back to New York the way that I left, that was my why. Like, I don't care how long it takes, how many tears I cried, I'm not going back. And also my partner, to your point about having the ground with you, your husband, that person that grounds you and keeps you stable and focused, having that also helps because, like you said, a lot of my friends left as well, and mostly because they didn't have mates, because it's hard to be in situations alone.
Yeah, it is. And I think that, I think the thing is like, I think about one friend in particular, and I guess the thing is what you want to do, like your passion, your life's work, your purpose, or is it something that you really, really enjoy doing, but you don't have to have it in your life? And one of my dear friends, I remember we were in an acting class together, which is how we met. And we were talking about a scene one time we were rehearsing, and I was just saying something off the cuff, just like, oh, I love being able to do this work and break down this character and like figure it out or whatever. And a couple of days later, she was like, I've been thinking about what you said. She was like, I don't know that I feel that way. The way you talked about like studying acting and going to acting class, like you were like, you could stay in acting class all night. And she was like, I really enjoy it, but I don't know that I feel the same way you do. And she was like, and that makes me question, like, do I want to put myself through all of this for something that I like a lot, but like my heart does not speak the same way yours does. And I think that's just an important part, because it's just like with anything, whatever you're going to do in life, if you can't come back to, I must do this, it's going to be easier for you to withdraw from it. And it's going to be easier for things to take you down, or for you to make you feel disappointed or whatever about it. And I think, you know, that's the only way, especially something like acting in LA, that's the only way we can keep subjecting ourselves to this, is to is to be like, I have to do this. I have to do this.
It has to be life
Honey,
or death.
Because nobody whatever, would do this if not.
Listen, and I really say that about everything. Mm-hmm. It really has to be life or death, because the truth is, you're giving up parts of yourself every day for the thing you wake up in the morning for. So it has to be life or death. And for me, the work is life or death. The work is life or death, because I get to work out my pain. You know, most of my audience know, if you know anything about me, you know that I lost my husband when I turned 40 and had my first child within 8 months of that passing. And I have since become a different artist because of that experience.
Absolutely.
And because I'm working out my stuff. So for me, it's life or death. And I'm hoping that people will make choices that will allow them to look at their situations and make decisions of whether or not what they're doing is life or death.
And I think it can change for you in some ways. Like, I had friends who were like, I still want to do this, but I really want a home and I want a husband and I want kids. And they moved to Atlanta, or they moved to North Carolina, or wherever. And they're able to still do some kind of artistic things, but they're happy with, I have a house. My kids have a yard. They have this. I have a husband. I don't have to worry about, you know, rent that is astronomical, more than people are paying for homes. Traffic that takes out hours of your day. The constant climbing. Like, they're fine with that. And I think you have to decide at what point. Even for me, it's like, I knew that I wanted to get married and have a child, and I was not going to let my love of the career stop me from that. I was going to find a way to do both, because they were both important to me, but I wasn't going to give up having a kid or getting married because I needed to pursue this acting single life persona that's like, I must make it before I have the other things. And so that's a life shift, right?
And I want to thank you for bringing that up, because I want to know, like, what was those conversations like? Did you have those conversations with Ajumu? Did you have them with yourself first? Like, how did you come to the understanding that this is really the trajectory I'm going to go with now that I'm, you know, at this point ready for to be a mom and a wife?
I think I always knew I wanted to get married and have kids. I did think that I would, quote, make it, which that's a whole other conversation. What is making it? I mean, honestly, right? But I thought I would, quote, make it before I did that. Well, the getting married wasn't really an issue, because, you know, it was like, I'm joining forces. But the having a child, there was just a point where I was like, I don't need to wait. For what? I can, who says, again, it's these rules, these limits. Who says I can't completely pursue my acting and have my child? Nobody says that. And who says it's going to hinder me? And it doesn't matter what steps in my way, I'm deciding what this is. So for me, it was already a conversation with myself that I'm going to be a mom, and I'm not willing to give up being a mom to, quote, make it first. And Ajumu was of the same, my husband, he was of the same mindset. I think there was a couple conversations before, like being in a good financial place. And then I think as time went on, it was like, again, there's these ideals around what your child needs. Like, they must have all of this, and we need to have all the help we can possibly. And it's really like, I think we just were like, we're doing great. And whatever we have to give this child is going to be amazing. And I think we just decided, like, we're ready. And I don't know if there was a big thing. I think it was literally just like, we're ready and let's do this. Whatever's going to happen from that is going to happen. We're both two strong, driven people.
I wish people can see the visual I have right now, because you have so much grace and love that projects through the screen that it's moving me to tears. I'm so honored to be able to have this conversation, because I did not have that knowledge at the time that I was going through. I think, I think I'm a little older than you. So at the time, I had this fear of losing out on something, missing out on something. And had I done it sooner. Now, listen, Iodelli came when she was supposed to come, and I'm so glad she's here. But if I would have done it sooner, I felt like maybe she would have had more time with her father. Maybe her father would have been able to enjoy more things with her that he did not get to enjoy because we started so late. And there is this misconception that, you know, you're going to miss work. Well, I had one of my biggest acting roles while I was 5 months pregnant with my child.
Exactly.
It doesn't stop.
Exactly. And I think you have to say also too, you know, there are people that before us who've started to pave that way to start to say, look, I'm a working actor and I'm a mom. I'm this, I'm that. And I think those people help to kind of start to change the mindset for us as well. And yeah, there are times where I'm like, man, if I would have started earlier, then, you know, maybe this would have been or whatever. But honestly, it's like, you know, when I really sit and think about it, I'm like, no, I did it exactly the way it was supposed to be. And also because I'm stronger as a person, I'm better, I'm more knowing, I have more, you know, I have more to give than I did then. And there's a deeper understanding, I think, of just myself and the world around me that I might not have had when I was a little bit younger. So I think that's also a beautiful thing because, you know, it was also important for me to cement some years, a couple of years with my husband before having a child so that we were able to kind of know where we stood through whatever before bringing a child.
Because that's also a thing, figuring out relationships while having a new child was a thing that we, Bay and I had to adjust to. And it took us a minute to get that groove happening. And so you're right. So yes, everything in its divine time. But I love that what we're really saying is the idea of moving away from fear, not moving in fear, but actually having the faith to know that whatever is happening, you got this. God got you. Whatever you believe in, whatever, even if it's yourself, you got it.
And it's interesting because when I got married, right after I got married, I booked like 3 or 4 big jobs back to back. And I remember getting emails and messages from people on social media that were like, man, what have you done differently? Like, what do you think's changed? Do you think it's being married? What do you think it is that's changed? And I was like, I don't know. Right. And then after having Kairos, I booked a huge job, you know, the show that I'm on now. And people are like, what do you think changed? What do you think happened? And it's interesting because the two things that people feel like will take you away from the industry, like you said about being 5 months pregnant, are the two things that brought me the most success.
Let me tell you something. My husband's passing. Now, listen, I would have preferred to elevate in my acting career due to a different circumstance.
Right, exactly.
However, his passing opened up something in me that has allowed me to not only book acting jobs, but also book more writing assignments, getting into rooms that I would have never gotten into as an actor. Mm-hmm. Having the ability to take meetings with executives that would have never seen me if I was just some other chick coming in as an actor. So there is something magical that does happen when you fall into the grace that is before you, which is life.
Yes. Experiences bring you to understanding of yourself. It opens doors. Vulnerability helps you to really tell the truth and whatever it is that you want to do. And new things such as babies and husbands allow your mind to not be so focused on what you don't have, but to focus over here and then allow yourself to breathe freely in the other things that you don't even realize. I mean, when I booked the show, I literally said to myself, man, I get to be an actor every day. That's what I get to do. And I get to be a mom and a wife. And I get to literally, my whole life is just to play. Just to play different characters. So instead of stressing about the auditions, let's just have a really good time doing this thing that I love to do. I'm not working in an office that I don't want, you know, just I'm not doing anything I don't want to. And then I booked the show. You know what I mean? So I think that that is, I think for me, the biggest lesson is live your life. Do the things you want to do. Live your life and see how that changes you.
Thank you. And be unapologetic. Mm-hmm. I think that I was very, I had a sense of, believe it or not, a people pleasing aspect about myself who was also didn't want to live out loud. I was dimming mm-hmm. my light to make Oof. Others comfortable.
Ooh, girl.
And I figured out very quickly that that ain't the way to go. And not only am I shutting myself off from my blessing, I don't allow other people to get to see what good and joy I could bring to their lives because I'm shrinking my light. So in doing that, Kina, thank you. Thank you. Because you get to live unapologetically and you get to really be your authentic self. And that is the thing that people buy. No matter what kind of work you do, actor, producer, you know, someone who works in regular service industries, whatever, people buy you. They want to spend time with you.
It's a journey. And that's still a journey. I mean, there are some days that you're like, I am showing up myself. I am unapologetic. I don't care. And then there are days where you're like, I really hope they like me. What do they want? That you have to then re-talk to yourself again. That's not true. You're not, you know, I mean,
and
that
some
is
days
journey.
Your authentic self is the self who ain't feeling it today or who didn't get enough sleep or whatever that is, but it's still okay. And you're still enough.
That's it. That's it.
And you're
that's
still
it.
Enough.
And that dimming your light. I mean, I speak on that all the time. I mean, I did a couple of keynotes last year that was the whole topic because it's something that I struggled with so much. I didn't want to appear too big or too much so that people would think I was doing too much or they wouldn't like me over here or whatever. And that doesn't serve anybody. Hello, at least.
And, you know, speaking of dim lights and coming from a legacy, let's talk about the fact that your mom is like one of the most biggest personalities, legacy women that I've ever met and encountered. Kina is a dancer in her own right. We both share that in common, as we mentioned, but her mother is diva dancer extraordinaire.
Okay. Yes, she
And I know that she has passed down so many legacies to you, not just Delta Sigma Theta, but also the dance legacy. Mm-hmm. What is the thing? I'm getting chills. Ooh, what is the thing? Ooh. That mom has given you, whether it was spoken or unspoken, that you carry with you, that's in your DNA, like that the thing that you learned that you can take that nugget that you could share with us.
That you always walk in a room with your head held high and that really there's nothing you can't do. You know, my mom she would just say these things when she was a dancer. Or she's still a dancer, actually. But when she was first starting, and she didn't start till college. My mom didn't start dancing till college. So the fact that the career she's had, this professional career she's had is crazy. But I remember she said she went to an audition and they were like, you got to be 5'6". My mom is like 5'2", 5'1". And so she said she went in there with her platforms on or whatever. And they were like, ma'am, take off your shoes, please. And she said she walked up there like, I am 5'6". And they were like, so you're 5'6"? And she looked at them like, uh-huh. And they were like, okay, ma'am, take your shoes off. And she was like, I mean, okay, but I'm 5'6", you know what I mean? And she was basically like, I don't care if they thought that was, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And my mom always, she just always shows up herself, head held high. And she doesn't care what the rest of the room thinks. She doesn't care if people are like, now who this chick thinks she is? She's like, I'm Teresa Ferguson. That's who I am. And she's very comfortable with that. And that's the thing that I always think about when I think about my mom. Like, she just does what she wants to do. And that for me is like always beautiful to see because people are drawn to her because of that. And yet doing what it is that she wants to do. The other thing that I say that she gave me is like, gosh, she is such a person who loves other people and like gives of her. I don't even know how she does it. I don't know how she's able to give of herself to everybody else to make them feel special and important and yet do it for herself and my dad. Like, I don't know, but yes.
What I remember about your mom is that when I was talking to her, she makes you feel like you're the only person in the room. She makes you feel like she completely is zoned in and is listening and is contributing and is bringing out the best parts of you in a way that I don't think I've ever experienced before. And she is a petite woman, but she comes in and she lights up the room. Mm-hmm. And anybody who is not only the seed of, but the legacy of that is somebody that needs to be my friend, and that's
you. Thank you, girl.
So I wanted to bring that up because there is something very unique and special about what she gives, that she gave mm-hmm. to you, and that we can give yes. to this audience.
Yeah, no, you're so right. I mean, I tell her all the time, I'm like, man, mom, if I can be just half of what you are, you know, I mean, she's not afraid to try anything, to do anything. She's open to everything. And like you said, she listens and she's right in tune with you, but she's always doing 50 things. But yet when she's talking to you, you're like, it's a very, yeah, I'm very proud to be your daughter.
Yeah, you she's know. Incredible. She's incredible. Just so you know, Kina is a drop dead gorgeous woman. I'm going to leave her details obviously on our site so that you guys can check her out and listen to her and see her. But when you see her on Sister, she looks a very different way.
Hello.
And the internet, hello. Black Twitter, they were not having it. They were not about that life.
Honey, they drag me every week. Every week. Black Twitter, regular Twitter, they drag me.
And they do. Tell us about your role, Sisters, and what some of the best parts about this role that you play.
So my role in Sisters, I play the PI, Leslie Davenport, and I am a butch lesbian on the show who is, which isn't even like the biggest part, but that's in their minds how they wanted me to be portrayed. And I am good at my job, but I'm also playing both sides. I'm kind of manipulative, yet I'm straightforward. I'm tough. I'm no nonsense. And so when I booked the job, they had said they wanted to change my look. And so my agents and managers were like, okay. And we're going through all the stuff. And they're like, yeah, we just want to make her look more manly, a little bit more, you know. And so for me, I'm like, great. I'm an actor. All I want to do is play roles outside of myself. And so, yeah, I showed up there and they basically created a bald cap with this very, very low haircut like a guy would wear. And what's funny to me is like, you know, people are like, what is this wig this woman is wearing? Who is this woman wearing this wig? What, her hairline ain't, people just be going on, her hairline is And so what I think is so funny to me is the amount of people that find me on social media to be like, what does she look like for real? Only to be like, this woman has a ton of hair. Wait, she doesn't look anything like this. And for me, it's really kind of fun that people are like so taken aback by how this character looks that they need to find me to like, okay, that's how she, okay. You know, but the funny thing about TV, and especially a show that isn't a show that you can binge, that you have to watch it every week on network, the funny thing about that is you get to see how the fans change. So my last episode, not only was everybody like on my side, they were like, okay, I knew I liked her. Oh, Leslie came with it. See, Leslie be doing it. And you're like, oh, see, I told y'all if y'all would have just held on. So now, like, they were on my side. And, you know, I got a lot of, I got a ton of tweets about, okay, Leslie need to come back. And then we want to see her. Okay, tell Leslie this. Okay, y'all need to go get Leslie to help y'all. Like, I'm like, now 4 weeks ago, they was like, Leslie.
It was not about that life. It was not about Leslie at all.
So, but it is a joy to play that kind of a character that gets that much, not even the attention, but just that much talk and dialogue. But it's also a joy to work for Tyler. I'd never worked for Tyler before, and my gosh, it was fantastic and wonderful. And to work for this man who has this amazing studio as a Black man that is, you know, doing such an incredible thing has been great. And also, you know, at the time that I booked that job, my son was 7 months at the time, and I was going to be leaving town for a month, and they made it so incredibly easy for me to bring my son and my husband, and they just really made it easy for me to have my whole family there and still work. And that is a blessing.
I might have to make you the co-host of North of 40, because that was my next thing to say, because before we kind of knew what you were doing, we saw, you know, we follow you on social media. We see, right, you know, you traveling. We see your son with you on the plane. And, you know, I knew that you were working, but the fact that you were able to do that and still be nursing.
Hello.
Okay. And hello. Be able to work and be a mom, which never really happens in a different state. What a blessing. What a blessing.
It was. It was a true blessing. And that's why I say, I was like, man, I could not have called that. Like, I've auditioned for Tyler so many times.
Yeah.
So I didn't think twice when I got this. I was really like, I'll just do what I do. And like I said, I was really like, I'm just going to enjoy playing this part. Now, when I auditioned, it just said she was tough, no nonsense. Right. So I just remember enjoying doing it. And literally when I got the call that I booked the job, I was on my way to another audition for another series, you know? And for me, you know, I was kind of on social media, kind of documenting my time there, because I mean, there were things from my husband calling me going, "We're running out of milk. Like, can't you only have one more bag of milk left?" to me pumping in the dressing room, getting the driver to drive the milk to the hotel to drop it off so that Kairos would have enough milk to, you know what I mean? Like, there's all these things that are also happening. And, you know, when you're working on set for 12 hours and you go home, you want to go to sleep, but your son needs to see you. So you need to stay up and be with him. He wasn't sleeping through the night yet. So I was like, you know, having to stay up with him, still study my lines for the next day, still, you know, like all these things were happening, which I literally every day would just be like, yes, this is tough today because I'm sleepy and I got to study and I missed my son and blah, blah, blah. But gosh, I'm so grateful and I wouldn't have it any other way. And every day I would just be like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. This is amazing. Thank you, God. This is amazing. And so that was, it was truly, truly wonderful. And we have a season two. So I'll be going back and, you know, my son's a little bit older now. So it just was truly, truly magnificent.
And thank you for dropping that other tool, which is being grateful, the attitude of gratitude, and telling the universe whatever you believe in, this and more. Thank you. This and more.
Yes.
You know, because what I've been posting recently on social media are things that will attract more of the things that I want. One of the things I said recently is focus on the things you want because you get the things that you focus on. So focusing and being grateful and asking for more of those things. And when those things appear, say, thank you, more of this, please. Because those laws of attraction will bring about the change and the evolution of the life that you want to see.
And I think, that's so good, Mariam, because I think the other thing is it's really easy to get caught up in what other people say. And they seem like little bitty, they seem like just things people say, but they can resonate, right? So it's real easy for people to be like, ooh, it is so hard to be like acting in another city with your baby. Ooh, girl, I know this is a lot, right? And it's easy to go, oh, yes, it is. But I had to be really conscious of going, I'm grateful though. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's so fun though. It's so fun. This is so fun. Like, oh, 6 a.m. call time? Yes. But you know what? I'd rather have a 6 a.m. call time than no call time. So thank you, Jesus.
Because those are the tests. You know what I mean? Those are the tests because it comes in like, oh, distraction. Nope, I'm good because I'm happy and I'm grateful. Thank you.
That's right. And I really had to, you know, my husband was flying in and out to be with us. And my mom and my god aunt came down to help me with Kairos while I was shooting. And I was like, sleep. Sure, I'll sleep whenever, but I get to not only have my mom here and my god aunt, my husband's coming in and out, my son is here, he gets to see his mom working, I'm meeting other actors, I'm working on a show, this is providing a different life for us, like all these things. And I just think it's really easy, and it's something my husband's great at. My husband's great at not falling into the trap of things that we say. You know, even in this pandemic, somebody said to me on Instagram the other day, they're like, 2020 is canceled, so it kind of wrapped it for all of us. And I was like, well, I'm not claiming that. Actually, 2020 is still going to be a great year for me, and I'm still going to get all the things I wanted this year. But I hear you. I understand what you're saying, but I'm not claiming
everybody,
that.
Everybody, I call her key. I call her key, everyone. 2020 has been really great for me.
Hello.
I mean, and not to sound, you know, high and above all people, but I think it's a matter of how you look at things. 2020 has slowed down so that we can get in touch with our humanity. So let's just do this reset and get in touch with ourselves and still claim that the good is happening all around us, even in this crazy malaise, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
We started off the conversation like, oh, it's been crazy. It has been. Don't get me wrong. The day-to-day is crazy. But the truth is, we do get an opportunity to slow down. So thank you for saying that about 2020, because it ain't canceled.
It is not canceled. And I think it's okay. A mom said this to me once, because I am careful about my words, and I was like, kind of crying about something with motherhood, because those happen, right? And I was like, but I want you to know, like, I'm so happy to be a mom and I'm so happy to have this experience, but it just felt hard today. And she says, you know, it's okay for things to be hard and wonderful. And that for me is what I take every day, it can be hard, but it can still be wonderful. So this pandemic can be hard, but it's wonderful to get to rest, to get to be home with my son every day and my husband, to take these walks, to meet my new neighbors who I've never met because nobody's ever at home when there isn't a pandemic, to see kids in the street, to be able to have a time to create, to sleep in if I need to because you don't normally get to. All of these things are also great. And yet it's hard to have to wear a mask and not touch anything and to hold these gloves and to wait in line at the grocery store. But you know what? It can be hard and wonderful. And I think that's the thing.
Oof, girl. Well, then I got to ask you this last question then, because I know you're not there yet, but I want to know, what do you think your fourth decade will look like when you hit that fourth decade? What do you think it's going to look like?
It's interesting because my first thought is like, what do I think or what do I want or what is it?
You know, a combination of all, a combination of all. Yes.
It's definitely going to look like recurring on a bunch of different shows at the same time, playing a variety of roles. It's going to look like producing a television series. It's going to look like directing some television series and films. It's also going to look like spending family time and friend time. And we love to entertain. So it's going to look like being able to be surrounded by friends and family, and it's also going to look like being financially free. And it's going to look like showing up for myself every day and continuing to live these experiences of life every day to the absolute best that I can do.
I affirm that. I affirm that. I affirm that, Key. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. This has been an amazing, amazing moment. And I'm so glad that you were able to come on and just share your views and drop some jewels and give us some tools so that we here at North of 40 can continue our journey when life throws us curveballs.
Honey, yes, because the thing that we all know is true that never stops is that life is going to throw you curveballs. That part doesn't stop.
It's how we reflect, react, and pivot through the journey. I'm Miriam Micah Day, and you're listening to North of 40.